Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. On November 5th, a lone gunman stepped into the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, and opened fire. 26 people, about half the congregation, died as a result of the rampage. That sanctuary has now been gutted. Pews riddled with bullets have been replaced with white wooden chairs, each one with the name of a victim painted in gold lettering. It's a crime scene turned memorial. But as visitors stand inside the church and grieve, parishioners across the country are contemplating the security of sanctuaries, even as they revisit the very nature of church buildings and faith communities. We're going to talk about safety in worship today. Joining us on the phone, we have Pastor Emily Munger of First Congregational United Church of Christ in Pierre. Emily, thanks for being here.
It's great to be with you.
Also with us in the studios, in the Vermilion Studios of South Dakota Public Broadcasting, Pastor Jesse Haley of Elk Point Baptist Church. Jesse, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with you, Emily, and I'm wondering, when news of the shooting in Texas broke, how long before your parishioners really started talking about the situation?
Well, I can say that that evening, I hosted our youth group that Sunday evening, and I held a special prayer with them, although most of them had not heard the news, so I don't know if just the younger generation hadn't yet received it, but it was within that same week that we had a trustees meeting scheduled, and our trustees, the group of volunteers in charge of overseeing the security of the building, and we made a special point to discuss our security in our building and what we do and what we don't do and what we should and what we shouldn't do. There's a lot of nuance to this whole conversation, and I'm grateful to the volunteers that we have who took it seriously and also maintain a level of theological reflection in the midst of that.
Pastor Haley, how long for you before people really started reaching out and talking to you about it?
The day of, I begin to get messages and calls, more messages than calls, and, you know, I guess people trying to make sense of something that's hard to make any sense of. But
right. There's two things, well, there's multiple things happening, but there is the sense of grief and sort of, brotherhood or connection or, mm-hmm. Feeling connected, but then there's also the immediate, this looks like an awfully familiar scenario in some ways to a small town South Dakota church. Is that what you were hearing, Pastor Haley?
Yes, definitely. I mean, just the feeling that if it could happen there, I mean, I know Texas isn't South Dakota, but still just the idea that someone could come in like that and, mm-hmm. yeah, definitely gets your attention.
Pastor Munger, were you hearing mostly, people who were really afraid? Were there competing voices about how this should have or should be handled going forward?
You know, I think there's, at least in my own experience, this initial shock where we once received a certain level of security because of the sanctuary, the nature of the holy place that is a worship space. Personally, my reaction was very much horror, I would say. From my congregants, though, I don't know if we're far enough removed in terms of geography that I didn't hear a whole lot of anxiety. There was certainly concern, but I think that I would distinguish that from fear or anxiety.
Pastor Haley, it seems to me that working as a pastor over the years, you both, Pastor Munger and Pastor Haley, would have had some brushes with domestic violence or, security theft in a sanctuary or people coming to you late at night for help or some sort of thing. It seems like a place that would draw different scenarios throughout the years. Has that been your experience? Have there been sort of security concerns in the past that that you've had to think through as a pastor?
I guess there's been some, nothing to any great degree, something that would raise concerns with some people, maybe someone that we come to help and maybe I'm going the extra mile and maybe my wife would warn or somebody, hey, be mm-hmm. careful, don't try not to be alone or put yourself in a vulnerable situation. And there's been some people that I try to make sure that we are public with, but in the services by and large, I mean, I had an episode when I was actually in Pierre to where a guy came in intoxicated, and of course you're trying to show him the love of Christ, we're not escorting him out, we're being friendly, but as I would begin to speak and raise my voice, he'd begin to say something. I could tell he was saying something, couldn't tell it what it was, but he was cussing me every time that I would raise my voice.
Sure.
Anyway, but just some guys came and escorted him out, you know, we didn't have that planned or anything, but just some guys jumped up and escorted him out, and it didn't escalate any further from there. But it was, and then we just went on with the service at the time. And you look back, it's like, man, that was kind of weird. But
right. Pastor Munger, how about you? Have you had experiences in your career?
Well, honestly, this is a second call for me, and I am new as of 4 months. So
wow.
I hear words of concern from a couple years back at our church. We heightened security after some incidences in which we had people staying overnight in our church without our knowledge of it. So for me, it brings up this tension that we have, which is we want to be a place of sanctuary, but based on, you know, the ethics and the concern for the safety of children, et cetera, we need to know who's in our building.
Right.
And so those sort of concerns are very much a real issue here. We also have several people who walk in on a weekly basis looking for help. And by and large, these folks are not at all a threat to our safety, but I do take into consideration my own personal safety, I would say, to a degree when I am alone in the building. And so we have a policy of locking the doors if my administrative assistant is not with me.
So let's talk about this notion of openness and what, you know, what a sanctuary is, what a church is, what a worship service is, what a Bible study is. Pastor Haley, let's start with you. As we deal with our own anxieties or fears, or you know, take those very real concerns seriously, what else is coming along with that conversation when it comes to, you know, who you are as a faith family?
Right. Well, I think, you know, talking about the whole safety thing, there's the old saying that failure to prepare is failing, or preparing to fail.
Right.
And I don't know, I'm a firm believer that the way I go about it is, in every aspect of life, you do what you can about the things you can do something about. But the things you can't do anything about, you just leave it in the hands of God. And so that's the way we go about it. We come in, we worship, we, you know, you take whatever precautions that you decide to take. But ultimately, you just are trying to encourage people in their faith. Hey, man, we're here to praise the Lord. We're here to glorify God, preach the gospel, and, you know, trust God to take care of things. But
Pastor Munger, how about for you? I mean, some of those conversations you've been having surely must lead to, you know, reminding people of some of the reasons for that kind of openness and welcoming, you know, building.
Yeah, absolutely. I would reiterate some of what Pastor Jesse shared there. We do have a similar ethic in that I think preparation and doing what we can to prevent something from happening is more important to me than a reactionary approach. But I also have to say that during the meeting with our trustees, when we spoke about these issues of security and whether or not to lock the doors during the worship service, you know, that came up as an option. And I was just proud of the folks who made mention that this remains first and foremost a place of worship. And if we don't open our doors, we lose something of that sense of why we exist in the first place. Mm-hmm. I believe that the church is a place of sanctuary where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. And we have to remain open if we are to be people of the gospel. That doesn't mean that we remain naive and lack certain precautions, because I think those are important as well. But absolutely, if we're going to be a place of welcome, we need to welcome everyone, including folks who are dealing with different levels of mental health issues and that sort of thing, which causes a tension between safety and openness.
Let's talk a little bit about reasonable precautions. I was reading, I think it was in the Washington Post, someone had done a column, and he was talking about the sort of the nature of, you know, everybody's facing forward, everybody's focused on the pastor. This is sort of set up to be an interesting kind of, you know, scenario in the first place. Have you had conversations, Pastor Munger, about reconfiguring where people are sitting or putting somebody at a door or anything tangible that would sort of reinvent how you worship?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because that's an issue that faces all churches who, in particular, have an older building like we do. Our infrastructure is not conducive to really even maintaining an eye on who's in various locations, you know, at various times. And so we have implemented, I think this is as of a couple years ago, we have a trustee on duty each service, as well as whenever we have an event going on in the church. And that person is basically to roam around and keep an eye on what's going on at the different entrances. Some of that is to be welcoming as well, because we have a levette that takes folks up and down who aren't able to use the stairs. So there's a lot of different components to that role, but the trustee is in charge of making sure, as of most recently, as of a couple weeks ago, that our back door is locked. And that one is to the education wing, where we have ministry with our children. So really, it is a primary issue of safety with our children that we have implemented that new measure, I would say, of security.
Pastor Haley, reasonable precautions.
Yeah, we're in a unique situation to where we are actually going to be building a building next year. So
Sure. There's
been a lot of these discussions already going in. So you kind of an advantage once we get to that point. Our current meeting location, we have great... there's a great vantage point, and we do have people that are looking, and you can see who's coming and going, and our current location is really conducive for that. And we do have a guy that is, you know, at least one guy that's always willing. He always wants to sit in the back. He always wants to, you know, kind of be a post there in a way, just to keep an eye out and, you know, be cautious of what may be going on. So. Yeah, we're blessed where we do have a good vantage point where we're at right now.
Right, and an opportunity to look at a new facility and say, what do we want this to be in
Absolutely.
So many different ways,
mm-hmm.
but then also in this way as well. How
Correct.
Do we do some of those reasonable things that don't interfere with who we are?
Right, and then
identity.
I agree that I know that, you know, like Emily said, that once, I know once we get to a place where there's maybe less visibility, I'm totally for having somebody, you know, walking right. around, maybe even checking the parking lot occasionally and yeah. so forth. So,
what about relationships with local law enforcement officers? Is that something that as a congregation you make an effort to do? Is it, you know, something in the future that so they would, you know what the inside of the building looks like, for example, or have an idea of where you're at should they have to respond to something? Pastor Haley?
Yeah, I think that's start? Absolutely. We do have a good relationship, just even from the standpoint of appreciating our, you know, local law enforcement and volunteers that work in other areas, but so we try to maintain a good relationship with them anyway. But then in addition to that, them being aware of the church, aware of our service times, aware of things that are going on, and then being very aware of the building too. You know, again, our current location is pretty simple, but leading into that next place, that's, I think, a very wise thing to do, is to have them involved and to know kind of what the layout of the building is, and even to communicate
right.
precautions or things that we've agreed on. Okay, here's kind of how we're trying to do things. Here's what we've got going on.
Right. Pastor Munger, how about that in your situation working with local
yeah.
law enforcement?
Well, I'll say, as a new minister to the area, I love that idea. I think that's a great one. You know, I do think that here is such a close-knit community that we really have a lot of great, well-respected public servants, and I am, you know, I am pleased to see when the only interaction that I have is when we do funeral processions, and I just highly respect that relationship that we do hold. And so I don't know that we've ever had a walkthrough with an officer in the building, but I like it.
You know, I was reading a little bit about that and preparing for this conversation, and one of the things the pastor, I wish I had could remember his name, he was from Wheaton, and he was saying not only that, but you have a pretty good chance to sort of minister to your local law enforcement at the same time. He had a dual purpose for for inviting
yep.
folks in, you know, special needs that they would have, or, you know, special circumstances in
yes.
their family. I thought that was interesting. Pastor Emily, you talked about the youth group, and let's talk about how this sort of any tragedy, a shooting in Northern California, a shooting in a school, a shooting in a church, at a concert, in a nightclub, these are conversations that are very much part of growing up in America right yeah. now, as they happen in different parts of the country. How do you approach that with children and youth as they get ready to go to college or go, you know, travel in other places? What kind of conversations are you having?
You know, I can speak from a couple different levels. One is with my youth group now, and one is when I was working at Presentation College up in Aberdeen. I was serving there the first year that they did a routine prevention, essentially that they did a simulation of a shooter and where they would take cover and all of those sort of things. We did a training. And I think the reaction from those young people, the college folks, was they were a little bit startled, and they kind of thought maybe this would never happen here. But as we see, even especially coming into places of worship and that sort of thing, it's on my mind to be of a higher concern to talk about what level of precaution we can take that is reasonable, because I don't at all want to instill fear in young people. I think that's also a very unhealthy reaction to this. But the reality is you meet them in the emotional space that they find themselves. Mm-hmm. And my youth are not particularly rattled at this news. And so I don't belabor it too much, because I think that maybe causes too much fear.
Right. But
I do think that there's some very big realities for leaving home now that look different because of college campus shootings than did, say, even when I left home 15 years ago. So I am very cognizant of it, and I hope that my youth have a good enough relationship with me to bring any particular concerns that they have. And we have that kind of relationship where you can confide in me, even if it's, you know, an issue that you don't want to talk about around your peers.
Pastor Jesse, we'll close with you as a parent, as a pastor, sending kids off into the world, into a world of, you know, where everyone's talking about sexual assault, everyone's talking about the latest shooting, tensions are high, about all number of things. How do you sort of ground your own kids and the kids of Elk Point in a faith that's going to really serve them as they serve the world?
Well, that's a great question, and I think that's one of the things really at the heart of the issue is the fact that we live in a post-Christian America. I mean, and we, most of our lives, we were still reaping the benefits of our Christian heritage, but I feel like in recent days we've been reaping and finally beginning to see the fruit of some of the post-Christian, post-God decisions. And to me, to preach, be able to get truth to the kids, humanism versus true salvation and truth from God's Word, having a personal relationship with Christ and being able to have an answer for, you know, what God's Word says and how relevant it really is. And the biggest thing with a lot of these people that make these terrible decisions is they don't have a purpose. You know, they've been taught things that they don't matter. There's not a purpose. They're an accident. Life doesn't matter. There's nothing after this. And to me, getting the truth out there, you know, one soul at a time, one young person at a time, and just grounding young people in the truth of God's Word and showing that it's historically and, you know, philosophically and scientifically accurate. You know, I believe enables them to make sense of things and be able to be a witness and stand and hopefully make a difference in the world.
Pastor Jesse Haley is with Elk Point Baptist Church. Pastor Emily Munger is with First Congregational United Church of Christ in Pierre. Pastor Emily, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Pastor Jesse, thanks as well.
Thank you so very much for having me.